The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. If you were here yesterday, you will know that we've started fully already. Amen. You know, some of the issues you are dealing with in this meeting are not issues that are dealt with every time when we hold meetings. You know, even in our own church. But are very important. Like they were talking about hygiene a few minutes ago. I mean, if you don't even understand why we should be talking about personal hygiene. You are just listening. But it's very important. Okay? You know, what I would have done actually would have been to bring a lady to come and teach this personal hygiene here. So that the lady can tell you people how they really feel about you people. Actually, I interacted with some ladies and they actually told me, Papa, some of these guys have body odor. And I said point. And they called names. Like, I know he's not in this, but they told me, ask, should we talk freely? I said, talk freely. Say amen. Are you scared? So, you notice, it's important. You don't just ignore yourself like that. I know we are guys, but then pay attention. You can't look so fine on the outside and then you shake your body small and your singlet shows. And we observe that singlet has not seen water in 16 days. Why are you like that? Change from your wicked ways. Because actually it's wickedness. So there are many ways you should begin to pay attention. If this was not in your plan, please begin to pay attention to it. Begin to pay attention to it. There are things that I can tell you, and if I don't tell you, when you even if we eventually get married, it becomes a very big issue. I get to the point. It becomes a very big issue. I know, maybe, I don't know how you are used to home chores, but just be trying small. Okay, don't eat and leave your plates for 2 weeks. And I'm not exaggerating actually. I've seen 2 weeks. 10 days. And something tells you, well, it will eventually be washed. That's the truth. But then I hope when you're going to wash, to use the toe. Because all the microorganisms that have, you get the point. Just using soap and sponge will not do it. So there are many things to say. I'm just saying what we're learning in this meeting, the first two sessions might not have sounded too spiritual to you, but you better take it seriously. Amen. Even when we talked about money and all of that, I hope you picked a few. The reason we put up such things is not for them to say everything about making money, but just to give you an idea of what you can begin to invest yourself into. Begin to invest yourself into. Talk about skill acquisition. Talk about, because some of us, let me tell you, I've said this many times, there is no rich man that you know. There are a few things I know about rich people. One of the things is there is no rich man that you know, for instance, that is a salary earner. Please don't forget it. No rich man you know. Okay. No wealthy man you know. Do you understand? Because people, somebody may be earning 400K and might think he's rich. So let me say, no wealthy man you know is a salary earner. Second thing is, no wealthy man you know has one source of income. I get what I'm saying? None. There must be something that doing. Mention, you know, sometimes when we call, you see what they do. Sometimes we call, who is the richest man currently? I don't know. Harry Moss, yes. I forgot. I don't know whether it's still him. I don't know much about Elon Musk, but I know a few people. You look like Jeff Bezos and the rest of them. They might have one brand name, Amazon. But under that Amazon, they're doing agriculture. They're doing food business. I get what I'm talking about. So see, Dangote now is a name. Dangote is selling spaghetti. Dangote is selling salt. Dangote is into petroleum. Dangote is into what else? Cement. I forget. So I'll ask, what does Dangote do? Dangote does anything that will give him money. And so that's why one of the wisdom you must cultivate as a man is to open your eyes. The only thing that should stop you from going towards a particular direction is if God said you should slow down, we shouldn't go there. I get the point. But once God has not said, once you are able to, of course, I will not encourage you to be doing many things at the same time. But once you're able to establish yourself in one particular area, you have some level of stamina, start looking at other places where money can come in from. I know what I'm talking about. Don't tell me I'm just into tech. Have a tech farm. A technology farm. Have a tech farm. Don't say you're into crypto. Have a crypto farm. Because I can tell you, you are not going towards agriculture now. You're not planning for the future. Have agriculture in your plan. Please, everybody. Even if all of us venture into agriculture, there will still be money for everybody. You know, somebody was telling me they interviewed Dangote using him now because he's a rich man. Are you a rich man? So they interviewed him and they said, if you are to start over again, what will you invest in? And he told them, funny enough, he was not going to invest even in cement if he's to start over again. He mentioned tech. He mentioned agriculture. Majorly agriculture. Mentioned tech. Then mentioned real estate. That's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying, it's not, don't think you're just thinking. So that's why you notice the man is into all of those things. Do you understand? And that's how the money is coming in. And they keep diversifying. Now you are at your level, the small opportunities that are coming, don't tell me I'm just into, I don't know anything, all this online, whatever, I don't, crypto, tech, go and find out what is happening there. You might not own it totally, but at least something should be coming from there. Do you understand? So that from here, you get the point, it's coming. Glory to God. Because you think you're building for the future. You know, one of the major reasons why we talk about giving, about money generally in the body of Christ, for me, is because apart from the fact that you need money to sustain your family, you need money to finance the gospel. I get the point. And I'm talking about heavy financing of the gospel. I'll still say this maybe next month, but I don't know, it's coming to me to say it now. So next month I'll talk about it more. But you see, there are meetings. There's a meeting, for instance, that we are going to hold this year. That's the highest capacity we've ever gone. Okay? It's going to cost about 20 million. And we're not going to borrow a dime. And God will put money in your hands. That's why we are talking about things like this. Because actually, if we believe we have the message, we must be very loud about it. As soon as we're loud about the message, you need money. Money is the voice. You don't know. That's the voice you need to announce it. You want to print books, it's cash. I get the point. You want to go on TV, you want to go on radio, and that's why you must trust that God will prosper you beyond your feeding and living a comfortable life. Move away from church. Think of all the people that you can help on the streets. Think of all the people that you can offer. Think of the number of children that you can put on scholarship. Anybody that lives for himself alone is a broke man. If you are rich, one sign is not in your bank account, it's in your generosity. So God has to give you enough. And one of the things that this one should do for you, as I'm talking now, is that your mindset should be enlarged, expanded. All this vision you have of just having a two-bedroom flat, you can start there, but there is more. Think of houses in cities. Think of lands in cities. I know what I'm talking about. Think of that. Think of want to open a center in South Africa and are looking for land. And you say, I even have one plot of land that is South Africa doing nothing. You guys can use it. Think of that. Say, to go and buy land in South Africa, you will buy it. And God will take you there. That's what I wanted to know. And not just about praying for you, but you must be able to, and I'm saying this to all of us, no matter the village you are coming from, Your background is not as important as where you are today and where you're going to tomorrow. So expand your vision. There are many skills now. I told somebody, and I want to say this emphatically, this generation is the easiest generation to be rich. Our generation is the easiest. Without scam, without fraud. I personally think, and I've said it all the time, that people who are into internet fraud are very stupid. Very stupid, because that same energy they put in internet fraud, I know what wild things they can put that energy into, and they will expand. They will do well. Not only will they say, sir, but internet fraud used to bring in big money. Maybe yes. But if you put your energy in the right things, it will bring you not only big money, sustainable income. I get what I'm saying. You can scam somebody of 100 million. What is the guarantee that you scam another person of 100 million in the next 6 years? I get what I'm saying. So what happens most times when they do that, get the first scam, buy cars, do whatever, the money stops flowing. I'm telling you a pattern I've prayed for many. Not for them to continue, for them to stop. For some of them, say, pray for me. After that, I say, you don't need prayer to continue. You need prayer to stop. So get the 100 million, buy cars, buy this, begin to throw money around, hoping that tomorrow they're going to scam another person, the money stops flowing. So what do they now do? They now want to plus up. That plusing up, that's now using juju, jazz. I get what I'm saying? All of that is because they need to sustain that lifestyle that they've started. So if you are here envying people who are into internet fraud, it's not even easy there. I get to the point. So all over the place, you see boys making sacrifices, carrying cow, crazy things that people are doing now. Because we don't want to work hard. Amen. Are you guys what I'm talking about? Please expand this thing. There's more that God wants to give you. Any place you see that money is coming from, and you do your due diligence, that's why you must ask questions. And you pray. And God did not say no. Go and find out what is happening there. You know what I said? You mustn't put your money. Just go and check what's that. Check how they're doing. Do you understand? Just check how what is this about. I can tell you, I'm not a financial expert, so I won't say much about that. But I can tell you, there are many areas where money will come, where money flows from, that can never cease. Do you know one example? This agriculture I gave you. Another example is food. Food. Do you guys talk about this? Very important. Food will always be available. People will always be hungry. So whether you're selling raw food or cooked food, people will always be buying it. See, even if people have not... When a man is broke and he gets his first money, what's the first thing he does? I'm telling you, if you are broke and get your first money, you go and buy food and eat. First, hot beans, just to start life. And so, that's a good place. Now, another example, that's why I know a woman who is rich, has her Jeep, has her houses that she has built, trained all her children, and she sells food. Don't think it's Kilimanjaro. Restaurants. Yes, just come in there. People are just... The first time I went there, I was like, okay, is this the place? At the time, she didn't have a name. I know just some Maddies. Just like maybe the child's name is Casey. Mama Casey Restaurant. That's all. You come in there. It was when the children now grew up, they began to touch up and say, ah, let's give you a name. They began to touch up the thing. But she changed, they still give her a name, but she's still selling. And I mean things like that. Talk of drugs, talk of agriculture, drugs. I mean, I'm not talking about cocaine or codeine. Medicine. Because some people are sick, they don't think about any other thing. And then away from this, there are many other areas like that. You know, another example, for instance, is transport business. People will always be moving around. I guess what I'm talking about. People will always be moving around. So if you have a way, now you may not go and own a transport company. But do you know that most of the young boys you see walking around the street have 5 to 6 keke that are using? Most of the young boys you know along the street. Most of the young boys you know. Because when you, that's what I'm saying, I'm not saying you just jump in there and go and begin to own whatever. Just find what is happening there. You get a chunk from here. As you now grow and have a brand, you incorporate all of them into your brand. Do you understand? So whatever your own is, Etrinet transport services, Etrinet cooking cave. Yeah, just have many things. Say, what do you guys do? We do what you want. What do you want? That, I'm just trying to say, do not box yourself and don't be comfortable. You can have ambition, healthy ambition in a good way. Not the one that will drive you crazy. In a good way, you have your ambition and you go for it. Anyway, that's that about these classes. We started something yesterday. Were you here yesterday? It was such a good time. Such a good time. I've tried to go through that message again and again. Such a good time. If you are not here yesterday, I'm going to not encourage you now. Instruct you to get that yesterday teaching. Especially that the first time we started, both of them, we started with healing the male child. And we are looking at different categories of sexual struggles that people go through. Do you remember that? How many did I give you yesterday? I gave you up to 9 or 10. 10. There are some others I did not add because I felt nobody here will be concerned. Like bestiality. You know what's bestiality? When a man is attracted to an animal. You know, we are laughing. To be frank, I've never seen a man attract an animal in real life. But I've seen them on Facebook. Do you understand? Why will you be attracted to an animal? And that's to tell you, again, I go back to what I was saying yesterday. It's a disorder. Now, this is what I want to say. And I want to say, if I move on from there. Whenever you find, if you're not here, I want to say it again. Whenever you find yourself in any kind of struggle like that, naturally, when you talk to your friends about it, they are going to laugh at you. That's why it's not your friends you go meet, but seek help. You know what I'm saying? Seek help. Because if you don't fix it, it's going to destroy you. Job came to a time, I was talking about making up your decision yesterday. Job came to a time, he said, I've made a covenant with my eyes. I will never look at a maiden. So you seek help. So you find yourself, for instance, I gave 10 categories. Find yourself, for instance, you are a promiscuous person. You don't want to admit, but that's who you are. You just like every guy, every lady, any lady that comes around. Even if you have a girlfriend, even if you are married, you still keep looking out. Do not think that that's how guys and as men be. That's not how men are. So go to what I shared yesterday. But you find out that you have homosexual tendencies. That's not how you are created. Are you following me? Or find out that you are an abusive person. You find out that you always think of forcefully taking advantage of women. Now, you might not have to go public because they may even arrest you. But get help. Get help. Oh, because I've seen people. I had an argument with somebody, a believer. And this guy told me that there is nothing, the argument that he told me, there is nothing like rape in marriage. I get the point. I said, why? He said, when you marry your wife, the Bible said that she belongs to you. So whether she wants it or not, you can have it and you're not wrong. I said, you're sicko. Because if you carry, you get the point, it's a mess of abuse. So I said, you need to get help. So there are abusers, there are people that practice incest, there are pedophiles, gerontophiles. Hallelujah. Gerontophiles. This one, I know this is much about. You go to villages. You find small boys of 20, 20 something running after widows. It's something that, now I'm saying this, and you know, these days, initially if I want to talk about these things like this, I used to say children that are 10 and below should go. But these days, guy, even if you're 7, I'm telling, because things are happening. I'm a preacher, oh. Interact with some of these young ones. They will tell you things that you don't know. You saw that video that went viral last year. A school that went for excursion. Who saw the video? Small girls I don't want to call them out of the school. Of 13, 12. If you see what they were doing, they were practicing. Not only were they having sexual intercourse, sometimes 2-3 in a room at the same time. Secondary school children. So I think we have to talk. You get the point. Men have to be helped. Nobody is talking about it, but we are going to talk about it. And we talked about the second first time message and get the proper help that you need. Amen. And then, what I'll be doing today is preparing you for fatherhood. Were you blessed yesterday by that session? Preparing you for fatherhood. You know you are a father or you are going to be one tomorrow. So, by way of laying foundation yesterday, I showed you how that fatherhood is learned. You can birth a child because you are male. But proper fathering is learned. You learn how to father. Whether it's spiritual fatherhood or biological fatherhood. And I gave many examples yesterday. Many people have children. They don't know how to father. I can tell you for real. I'm a pastor and every day I just ask God to help me for real. And you've got to ask God to help you. With every day I interact with people, I see the product of poor fatherhood in their lives. The people you just, you know. Sometimes I was talking to one of our sisters this afternoon. And she just told me, just as they finished the session, she was telling me something, a guy she was talking with. The first thing that came up from my mouth is, who raised these guys? Who raised these guys? You must understand how fatherhood works. First of all, because I said a few things yesterday. I said, you will be a biological father to a few persons. Remember I said that yesterday? You will be, if you choose to be. You may be a spiritual father to some. You may. That is, if God calls you into that responsibility. That one is on God. You may choose to become a foster father to some. A foster father, a father who didn't give birth to people, but have people under that think you can adopt children. You might choose to become a foster father. But you must learn to play a fathering role to younger people around you. This is what all of us must learn. You must learn to play the role of fatherhood to younger people around you. That's one major way you begin to learn fatherhood. You must learn to play the role of a father. So you have younger ones. Your job is to stand as a father. They might not have to call you daddy or whatever. To stand as a father over them. I get the point. Young people come around you. You must learn how to father them. So when you have your own kids. Now, I can tell you, what I am doing here in this church is fathering. And with all this, I have my experience. I can tell you, the way I fathered people 5 years ago is not the way I'm fathering them now. Because I'm getting better. You know, I said that yesterday. Getting my experience. Being fathered myself. That's why, as a young man, if there are young people that are around you, your cousin comes to stay with you, your niece comes around, young people come around, what do? You stand as a father over them. And within whatever short time you have to spend with them, the failure of uncles in many places is not just that they are not sending money to their nieces and nephews in school. It's because they are not playing fathering roles over them. Nobody is expecting you to be able to sponsor other people in school if they have the money. But there are roles a father must play. And when they come around, you play that role over them. I get the point. And men need to learn. Men need to learn. And I'm going to say to you before I start what I'm going to say. When you get married, or if you are married now, if you are not ready to properly father children, please don't have children. Don't have kids. Don't raise kids that you will not father properly. Don't raise kids that you will not commit to. To start with, those kids are not your kids. They belong to God. God gave you as a caretaker to take care of them. So if you don't want, you don't collect. But if you have children, you must properly father them. And even before you have children, I'm fathering many people now. Many people. Not just as a pastor. People that come around me, I will try to father you. Well, studying something in the morning when I was teaching the ladies, the story of Esther. And you find that Esther became what she became because there was a Mordecai in her life. What was Mordecai? Mordecai was a cousin. An older cousin. Esther lost the father, lost the mother. Mordecai took her in. Did not molest her. Did not take advantage of her. And fathered her till she became whatever she became in the society. And you notice, even when Esther had become queen, she was still listening to Mordecai. There is an absence of fathers in our generation today. That's why young children are running around without direction. Without direction. I go to secondary schools, and I tell, that's why some of you that are into secondary school ministry, do you observe that most times, once you are done, children begin to gravitate towards you. They're asking questions. Because there is something lacking in many of these homes. They're asking questions. They're coming close. They're seeking counsel. And that's why you must be a proper father. Even before you have children. You begin to help father people that come around you. Doesn't mean you tell them, call me daddy or call me mommy. That's not the title. Just that you're playing the role for them. It's one of the things that God expects of men in our generation. To become fathers to younger people that will come around them. Amen. Some of you know. That's why, and I said this yesterday. If you are here, and maybe because you lost your parents early, you lost your father early, or because you don't have really a great relationship with your parents, for whatever reason, but you observe that there is a gap in fatherhood, please submit yourself to proper spiritual fathering. Because that gap in your life will show when you begin to interact with others. Because you know how fatherhood works, whatever they did to you, you will do to others. No matter how you hate that thing they did to you. That's why I was giving an example yesterday. All the parents that said, man, my father beat me blue and black. They are beating their children blue and black. Sometimes they are even worse. I get what I'm saying. And I always say this. They later get better at fathering. Maybe if it is a father that had about 7 children, by the time they get to the last child, they are getting better. So they've used 1, 2, 3, 4 children to do practice. I get what I'm saying now. Some of them eventually get better when their kids are having grandchildren. And they just started getting better. And that's why I'm going to say to you, you have to be a better father. But it starts by forgiving your father. You know, I said that, right? Forgive whatever your father did wrong, you have to forgive him. This is not the time to begin to say, no wonder my father did not try. You are now about to be a father. If I am now a father. I just say you're never born, but you're now a father. So all this, my father did not try. You are now here to try. I get the point. You become a father, a father figure, a mentor to younger people that God is bringing around you. People that come to live with you. People that come around you. You are in final year in school. And there are these first year guys that come into school and are coming around you. What are you supposed to do for them? You father them. Because whether you father them deliberately or not, they are going to get a father in sin very soon. Not talking about a father in sin. They're going to get somebody that will introduce them to cigarettes. Somebody is coming that will introduce them to women. Somebody will introduce them to drugs. Somebody is coming that will teach them Yahoo. So if you don't play that father role, people are coming to play that role for the devil. Are you guys following me, everybody? So I'm not just teaching you, I'm actually giving you a mandate that when you find younger people around you, be that person they can look up to. Be that person that can take care of them, whether they are men or they are ladies. You don't need to be a pastor to do what I'm saying. You see what? I'm going back to what I told the ladies in the morning. So Mordecai took care of Esther, because it was really less time in the morning with them, took care of Esther, mentored her and all of that, put her, and she became queen. By the time we get to chapter 4 of Esther, verse 16, Esther needed to pray, because Mordecai had already challenged her to go to meet the king. Remember that story? Which was against the law. And Mordecai and Esther was going to go. And she said, she told Mordecai, tell everybody to fast and to pray for me. But the line that got us stuck in the morning was when she said, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. That means Esther had maids as a queen. Maids given to her by the palace. And she was already able to produce something in them that they could fast and pray with her for 3 days. I know what I'm talking about. These maids did not come with her from Israel. They were Babylonians that were given to her to serve as her maids. But she had already mentored them such that when it was time for prayer and fasting, she said, my mess and I will fast for 3 days and 3 nights, no food and no water. So the same way Mordecai had imparted this lady, she was carrying the legacy on. That's why I said, if you are fathered, you father others. I guess what I'm talking about. That's why I said it yesterday. I won't say it again. One of the greatest blessings that the Lord gave to me was to give me a spiritual father. I started interacting with my spiritual father when I had already grown. Some of you know, I had already grown. I was already a pastor. I was already pastoring this church. But I knew there was vacuum. I like, thank God I have a father who is not a paparazzi father. You know, many of these things they call father in our generation today is just posing. So this is my spiritual father. Let's snap a picture. And we post and write an epistle. Sometimes they don't talk. My pastor fathers you. Involved in your life. To the capacity that he can be. Playing that role. To the capacity you allow him to play the role. But what we've done, we've allowed. You get the point? We've allowed him to play the role. I told you guys, at every step of the journey in my life, from time I met my pastor, he's there at every step. And I'm not talking about, I can't tell you, there is no major decision I've made in my life since I met my pastor that he did not play a role in making the decision. No major decision. And it's deliberate. Well, that's fatherhood. Now, let me say a few things. So, what is the role of a father? I'll just give you some fathering responsibilities. For instance, a father is a leader. So, when I say you should begin to play fathering roles for people, one of the things you do, you begin to lead them. A father is a leader. So, when you finally have children, you're going to lead them, you're going to lead your wife. Amen. Bringing out the best in them, leading them to God. That's all this idea of, I need a prayerful woman who will be praying for me. I need my wife to be able to pray very well. That's nonsense. It is the father that leads the home. Now, your wife may have a calling. I'm sitting in an office. See, in the home, you are the one that will lead. You are the one that will lead your people to God. You are the one that will make sure that your children are praying. You are the one that will make sure that there is quiet time in the house. You are the one that will make sure. So you lead. Fathers lead. So when I mean play fathering roles for young people around you, when young people come around you, lead them. Show them what to say. Show them how to act. Lead them out of all the struggles. I get to the point. Lead them properly. So a father is a leader. A father leads. Okay, well, we'll meet up. Amen. A father leads. But then, secondly, I want to talk about this one very well. The second role of a father, apart from leadership, is modeling. I already wrote it on the screen. This board, because I mentioned it to the ladies in the morning. Modeling. Now, this is the major job of fatherhood. If you ever raise children, you will know that children learn more from what you do and not what you say. Amen. Tell your kids that 3 years, 5 years, walk like daddy. They can walk like daddy. They can talk like, do how daddy used to do when he's angry. They will show you. The daddy, they're learning. Now, when I say play fathering roles over young people, one of the major things you owe them is to be a proper model. What that means is, you must come to a point in your life as a young man where you stop living for yourself. Where you understand that everything you do today, a younger person is going to learn it and do more. I guess what I'm saying. Are you following me at all? So you model character. You model dress. You see the way you're dressing today, somebody modeled it to you, whether you know it or not. You copy from someone. Everything. So anybody that has not come to a point where you stop living for yourself. If I want to dress, you just say, well, this is what I want to wear. I don't care anybody. If I want to go to church, today I don't want to go. I don't care who is offended. Whether you're offended or not, that guy is not yet trained for fatherhood. A father begins to live for others under him. Knowing that, okay, what if I do this? How will these younger ones perceive it? How would they interpret it? Are you what I'm talking about? You are staying with younger people in the house. You have a girlfriend. Even if you don't want to have sense, you have a girlfriend, you want to bring her to the house. Now, don't just think about the pleasure and the fun the father is going to come around. Think about it. If I begin to bring girlfriend to the house to come and stay in my room till morning, what of the younger people that are following me? You are living for others. That's what fatherhood is. Modeling something for the next generation. I guess what I'm talking about. Yeah. You begin to think about the next generation. Because younger people are learning. Even you, as young as you are observing what people are doing too. Whether you know it or not, you are trying to be like them. Whether you admit or not, somebody is modeling something to you. So you are not ready for fatherhood yet if you are not ready to be a proper model. Even in secondary school, that is school father. I was saying it yesterday, that is school father and all of that. Don't you observe that those school sons always try to behave like their school father? So a proper school father must learn to model the right thing. And you know what thing about learning? When people learn from you, they will overlearn. In Igbo, how do they put it? They learn and they go overboard with it. That's why at my level, I can tell you, I do not live just for myself or what makes me happy. Because all of you are watching. I get what I'm talking about. All of you are watching. I don't just do this how I want to do it. It's not anybody's business. Everybody's observing. The way you treat your wife is how your children will treat their wives. Doesn't matter whether I advise them or not. They are learning. Unless there was an intervention by heaven somewhere in the course of their life, maybe they meet someone else, maybe a good pastor that begins to teach them and redirects them. If not, that thing they saw in their homes is what I'm going to repeat. That's why if you are here and your father was brutal to your mom, you better get on that proper fatherhood. If not, if you don't get that thing removed from your mind, when you get married, it's a matter of time, you start displaying the same thing to your own wife. I guess you get what I'm saying now. So that is modeling. If when I say father the next generation, I mean be a good model to them. Amen. By how you act on Facebook, how you act when you see even your place of work. You are in a place of work. You guys are in a particular community where all of you are working. And then you are not the oldest, but you are not the youngest. So there are people that are there who are looking up to you, whether you know it or not. I was telling the lady something in the morning. If I play this game here, you'll be so shocked. If I say let's pass piece of paper now, and in the piece of paper I'd like you to write three people that are in this hall now that you admire, that have inspired you in one way or the other, and they're not even aware. Don't write Pastor Henry, write three. By the time we are done, more than up to five people will write your name. You don't even know. It's tested and proven everywhere. What I'm trying to tell you is that in that your small kind of way you are hiding, somebody is looking up to you. I follow me, everybody. You are modeling something to someone. Someone is learning from your dressing, learning how you act, learning how you conduct yourself, learning all of those things. Be the proper model. A father is a model. You have a home, you want your children to be praying, let them see you pray every morning. One day you're going to kneel down to pray, they'll come and kneel down beside you. Let them see you pray every morning. You have a home, want your children to be serious with God. Let them see you not miss service. They're learning. You know the thing about learning? There is the graph of growth, you know, in development in children. At first, your parents begin to enforce something, force it on you. Then you're going up. At the time, it looks like you've abandoned everything your parents taught you because you want to explore. Guess where it finally ends? Eventually, you go back to all those things your parents taught you. I observe what I'm saying. You see someone, when you what they were saying, be serious, read your Bible. At the end of the day, you're going back there. After your whatever. Because there is a software that has been installed in you that cannot be uninstalled. You saw too much growing up. Unless you deliberately uninstall it. That's why you see people that grew up seeing their father beat their mom. They will go to their mother, I will never do it. If they don't deal with that stuff, they will grow eventually, they begin to do it with reason. And then I'll be saying, it's now I understand that thing daddy was saying that time. These women need beating. So you are supposed to be a proper model. I mean, in everything, in how you talk, in how you respond. Like in this church now, everybody is seeing if you are submissive and you honor pastor, somebody's watching it. If you're a punctual person, somebody's watching it. I get what I'm saying. Now, whether you know it or not, If you always flout the rules, once they give one rule, you must do the other. Somebody's watching it. And they are picking these things. And very soon, it's no longer be somebody. It will be your kids watching. And no matter what you preach from the Bible, that's your life. Sounds louder than everything you are saying to them. They asked my pastor's children, my pastor's daughter in school. I've told you guys this story. He said, my dad said he never knew they were paying attention. They were just asking them randomly in school, what is the first thing your father does when he wakes up? Two of them said he prays immediately he gets up. He said he never knew. They were that kids. He never knew that paid attention to that. Say when he wakes up, he prays. So they're watching. So a proper father is a model. Starts now to model the right things. That's why fatherhood in our generation will be very hard in the next few years. Very hard. Imagine your child is 12 and you're encouraging your child, don't be a bad person. And the child goes to your Facebook page and sees your life at 19, your life at 22. Say, daddy, daddy. People are not wise. But you are wise. You must be a proper model. You know the thing about modeling? It's very strong. Have you seen that in churches? There is a way people who are committed to any church behave. You don't even know you're behaving that way. There is a way they talk. There is a way they... Have you observed what I'm saying? It's very... I don't want to call it some churches. There are some churches that you know. Have you someone act and you say, this one is from so-so church. They don't even know how those are rubbing off from them, but the pastor is doing something and they're copying it. They're copying it. Amen. So there's modeling. Of course, the next job of a teacher, of a father, is to teach. So I'll say much about that. You have to teach your children, teach people that are around you. A father teaches, instructs in righteousness. What I've learned about fatherhood is this, even as a spiritual father. You know what I've learned? Teach everything. Don't demand from people what you do not put into them. Listen to what I'm going to say. Don't expect that people know things. You know this, you know, have you heard me teach? Do you know there's nothing I've not taught in this church? I can teach you how to take notes. I've taught people how to behave when I'm preaching. True or false? A full message. How to respond to the word. That's what we'll call it. All that is how to pray when I'm preaching. How to respond when I make a powerful point. How to behave when I start prophesying. You get the point? So you go to a church, you observe. As some churches, for instance, in my church, if I switch you to prophecy, once I just go for the next 30 seconds saying, your life is going to change. Everybody has jumped up. Somebody who taught you, how did you learn it? It's deliberate fatherhood. You intentional fatherhood. You teach everything. I get what I'm saying. You teach everything. Do you know why in this church you hardly see people do that? I don't stop them. Mostly it's once in a while that you see people do that. When I'm preaching, somebody comes to drop money on the altar. Because I didn't teach people that. If I wanted to start happening in this church, I just need to do a teaching session on it. It will begin to happen. Two things, I'll do a teaching session and I'll model it. I'll take one or two people to model it to start happening. Now that's how to father in your home. Don't expect that your children will know things. Teach them. Sit down and break down. Don't ask, why are they behaving like this? This child comes back every time and starts. Don't think children don't understand. Explain to the child why he needs to bath. Yes. This is why he needs to bath. Now, he may not get it. He may not change much. But you are sowing seeds. So I believe in teaching everything. Teach your children how to dress. Teach them to do. When there are young people around you, teach them things. Teach them how to make money. Teach your children. Anything you are not, if you are not a teacher, you are not the father. Fathers teach. So, how am I fathering you? I'm teaching you. Teaching you the word. But you notice as a father, I don't only teach you the word, I teach you everything. I teach you finances. So why are you teaching like that? Why don't you preach the Bible and go? I'm not just a teacher, I'm a father. A father pays attention and teaches everything. Paul will tell Timothy, take little wine for your stomach. Is that one in the Bible? Is that one in scriptures? No. That's a father looking out for the son. So you teach everything. Did you observe that in the law of Moses, you gotta check out the law of Moses, from Exodus down, there are instructions on almost every aspect of life. including personal hygiene. Have you heard what I'm saying? There are thoughts that when you must wash your hand, those things, they specialize in personal hygiene. Moses told them, when there is an outburst, a growth on someone's skin, and we don't know what it is, Moses told them what to do. That person should come. Moses, the priest, will examine the growth, check what it is, quarantine the person for some time, check whether it is leprosy. So he was teaching them how to protect their health. A father teaches everything. It is when you've taught people enough that you can begin to demand some things from them. That's why there are people that are new to this church. There are things they do, and I don't get angry. And people ask me why. So, well, what does he know? How much have you told him to be able to know how to act? You get the point? I told you guys that story. This guy, they preached to him, and he got saved. He got saved. So he came to church. Now he came from, he has never been to church before. Came from the streets, gangster and all of that. He came, he so much loved the service. And there's a they say, who has a testimony? The service bless you. He came and picked up the mic and said, oh damn man. This service was F cool. You know, talking a very crazy way. Man, pastor, you're killing it. You are killing. The only point, nobody has told him that believers don't talk like that. So the pastor was wise. Came up and celebrated the testimony and now told him, but that's not how we talk here. And he's not wrong, because you cannot demand what you didn't tell anybody, give anybody. I teach everything. People that trained under me early when I used to have time, as musicians, people like my wife, for instance. I taught my wife even stage management, how to walk up the stage. We're not married though, we're not even in a relationship. Just as a daughter, how to handle mic when you come up stage. I'm a person that believes in teaching everything, the tiniest of things. And that's how fathers think. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me? You buy an appliance in your house. You don't want children to spoil it, teach them how to use it. Because whether you teach them or not, they will use it. So teach them, practice, put it off, because whether you like it or not, if you step out, they can't touch it and they will spoil it. And you shout and buy another one, they will spoil it. So why not teach them? You know, personally, now this is a personal opinion. Personally, I'm of the opinion that when you have kids around you, especially guys, and they hit 14, 15, 16, teach them how to drive. Now, after teaching them how to drive, tell them that they are not supposed to drive till they are 18. But shall teach them. Now, you say why? Whether you teach them or not, they will drive that car. I don't know how rough you were as a child, but me, I know where we are coming from. 15, 16, they will drive it, whether you like it or not. It's not when they're driving it, and one day they will even kill themselves. And you cannot, if like, hide your key. I get what I'm talking about. So you teach, and now sit down again. I'm not teaching person how to drive. I'm not teaching you so you can drive. I'm teaching you so you know what to do in case of emergency. But see, you don't drive. Explain to the person, why should you not drive till you are 18? Because this and that, police catch you, you are going in for, you know, explain and all of that. Properly explain. Don't begin. The problem is sometimes, have someone ever shouted at you and you're wondering why? Whatever happened to you? Person is shouting, but you don't even know what you did wrong. It's now later that you remember, oh, that's why this guy was shouting that day. The reason was he was shouting at you. I didn't explain nothing to you. So as they are concerned, why are you shouting? What did I do wrong? One of our friends moved his father's car. They say, go and warm it. He started it and moved it. And it's not even automatic that we are driving a manual. You know manual, eh? You really need to know how to drive manual. Bash the car. The father beat him that day. Oh, I'm coming to beat him. The man beat him. He can't forget it because the mark is still in his finger. I think they moved one of his nails. One of his nails. With plier. And the man show the guy shaking. So whenever you remember. But do you know the problem? By the next week, he moved back again. Do you understand the problem? He moved that car again, and there is nothing. If at a time he began to drive out that car, the father did not even know. So why not teach? You see, that's why again I said, as I said yesterday, fathers must be available. Must be around. You must be around. Yesterday we were talking, the kind of things my dad did for us, small, small things. Now I've grown up, you those days, you buy book, you buy exercise book, and my dad will help you not buy it from 1 to 8 if it's 80 leaves. He did it for you. You see, my dad had time. I don't know. He had time. 1, 2, till it's 80. If you tear out one, you are gone. That kind of time, fathers should have time. Not just be on the street making money. Have time for your family. Our Father who art in heaven, who lives in us, that's God. Your own father is always with you. That's, you know, I told you, God is the mother father. So be around. I'm not saying you don't have to make money, but please be around. Some things can happen on video call. Some things demand your presence to impart that knowledge. Are you learning something? So a father must be a teacher. So you teach. You teach. A father also builds structures. Now, this is very important. Building structure is related to teaching, but it's important I separate it. Ooh, hallelujah. Somebody just dropped in my spirit. Let me pen it down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see why I'm talking about teaching? Know why I told you what I told you now? Okay, so that you know what I'm doing. You know, the thing is, any ministry where the pastor operates like he's a mystic, like he's mysterious, is not a fatherhood. It's not a ministry where fatherhood is taking place. Because fathers can be mysterious. Fathers have to show the children how to do it. That's teaching. Do you understand? So if I heal the sick, I should show you how. If I'm preparing message, I should show you how to prepare message. Well, that's by the way. So that's teaching. I say you build structures. Now, listen. Structures is one of the major ways to father. For instance, in this church now, how are you fathering all these people? If there are 10,000 children in this church, how do I get to father them? Where I don't even know their names, I may not even, you know, the way church is growing these days, sometimes I see people on the road and I tell you, I ever met somebody that is telling you, I'm in PG. I am smiling because you don't know the person from anywhere. So it's growing. So how do I cope with that? Structures. How do I measure everybody that comes to the church is fathered? For instance, there's a structure called PGTI Basic. So once you come, I wrote that manual by myself. I taught it, prepared the manual. So I'll make sure that there's a structure on ground to handle every new person that comes here till Jesus comes. So the things I want them to know, I've created a structure to make sure that they know it. I know what I'm talking about. I have a structure, 6 a.m. prayer. At least what we're doing now, 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. prayer. The structure I put in place. I have a structure. When you put structures in place, you are fathering. So your home, for instance, there must be structure. If you have people living with you, there must be structure. What time do you wake up in the house? You know what I'm saying? That's why your father must be firm sometimes. You'll be firm. Everybody same in this house, you have to be up for morning prayers. You should have such structures in your home. Because children are not as wise as you think they are. Of course, you teach them, but you don't just say, do what you want to do. Even at your age, if I say you do what you want to do, I know what you're going to do. That's why even in church, we enforce the structure. It's a must. You must do this, you must do this. So there are structures set in place. Sister, you must work up for prayer. Structures like you don't miss church in this house. Structures like, I was giving an example. I gave you guys an example. You know, my dad told us, I told this story many times now. He said, the children have, he said, buys toys for them. He likes getting toys for them. So they have many toys. He said, there's almost no toy in this world that they don't have. Unless he doesn't like it or they don't like it, he buys it. They have gadgets. He said, but there's a structure in the house. For instance, one school is in session. Nobody touches those gadgets. And everybody knows. When there is public holiday, you can handle it. When there is long back, I get what I'm saying now. Sometimes during weekends, you can say on Saturdays, you can handle it. There should be that structure in the home. But you allow children, no, children have to be taken care of. He's crying. Don't worry, go and take the gadget and play with it. It's not true. The child will spoil. There must be structure that guides how things happen. So why he told us that story is because is the children, this last public holiday that happened, I think it was last month or so, the children wrote him a letter. Those two children. Dear Daddy, this is to request that we use our gadgets within this public holiday. Gave him reasons why he should allow them. It was really very funny. I said, if you agree, sign here. that was the height of it. If you accept, sign here. And you know, it was really very funny. But why they were able to do that is because there's a structure in the house for how things are done. If you have a home and somebody comes to stay with you for 3 days, the person should adjust your structure in the home. You can't come to my house, for instance, and we're prepared to come to church. Pastor, the structure he set in his home is very powerful. He set a structure in his home where they don't do morning devotion every day. They do it like, I think, once or two times in a week. But there is morning devotion every day. So, maybe it's 5:30, he wakes up, when the children got to that age, he wakes everybody up at that age and tells you to go and do your personal study and prayer time. So that day, to measure 5 days in the week is personal study and prayer for everybody. So everybody, mommy takes his position, daddy's position, children, everybody, studying personally. Once in a week or two times, they come together for the general morning devotion. And he actually said he believes it's better so that people can learn how to pray on their own and study on their own. Now, that's a man that says structure in his home. So he doesn't believe that children are studying in their own. It's not, I'm reading it in my room. All of you will come, all of us take a position. You read your own, you pray for at least 30 minutes or 1 hour. You are seeing him doing it. Mommy is doing his. I get what I'm talking about. That's a man that sets structure in the home. And I'm not surprised. All his kids, all are ministers. All of them. These are very predictable. But when you allow people to just do what you want to do, that's why I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to say you don't put your kids in boarding houses. But if you're going to do that, please. Look at that body house and watch the structure that they have there. People contact rubbish. Most of you, your life spoiled from body house. Now I'm talking to you. Your life started spoiling. Then you got in there. So, set structure. Like, I pastor people by structure. How am I pastoring people in Abakiliki, where I'm in Enugu? There's a structure there. The same. How am I sure that when we come for national meetings like this, that I'm teaching, and people in Abakiliki are not lost. People in Nsukka are not saying, I'm not understanding what they're saying. That's a structure. That's all the pastors have. There are structures. There's a reason why it's the same message everywhere. I get the point. Some of those structures, for instance, once every month, I must address the whole church. Have you observed? People in other centers, have you observed this? Once every month, I must address, most every month, at least once. If you are not coming physically, I will join service. It's deliberate. At least once every month. Okay? Once in a while, I review the message of the pastors. Sometimes I say, what did you preach today? And the instruction is, you can't even preach anything outside what I've preached. That's instruction. You can't do that. You say, can Holy Spirit talk to them? Let Holy Spirit come talk to you in your home. If you are here, because that's the instruction I have to put in place to make sure that nobody's doing whatever. Because if you just allow things to just run like that, you are a bad father. A proper father makes sure that there is structure. I get what I'm talking about here. Are you following me at all? So you set structure in your home. Not only about spiritual things now. Even siesta. It's 1:30. All of you should go and sleep. The kids may not like it. But there's certain structure. Why are they sleeping? It's not just because you want to be a big man. Sometimes you teach, that's why I talk about teaching. Sit them down and tell them, look at why sleep is important. Because two things, at that their age, they need that sleep a lot. Second thing is, a time is coming when they will look for that sleep, they will not find. I,
I wish somebody told me this.
A time is coming when you want to take siesta, but you can't. If you take siesta, wake up, you're angry. That time is coming. So now that I'm begging you to go and take, better go and sleep and take siesta. Because the time is coming, you look for siesta. Sometimes people, I know people that come in my first study, I have a problem. These days, I can't even get 4 hours sleep. The days are getting busier. Have you observed? Getting busier. So they're looking for 4 hours complete sleep. Because you wake up in the morning by 6, you've gone out, you're coming back sometimes around 10, you have work waiting for you, you work from 10 sometimes to 3, you sleep again, 6 o'clock you're up. The cycle continues. It's not even a good thing. You should watch your health actually. You should watch your health. You know it's not a good thing. I should digress now. Take your rest too. You see, I'm Pastor Henry. I'm a workaholic. You know, but see, let me even tell you people. I rest every Monday. Are you aware? Mondays, I don't see anybody. I don't go nowhere. Except I'm going somewhere with my wife. To go and rest. Yes. Now, rest, I'm not saying sleep. Not only sleep, actually, but rest too. And I said this yesterday. With everything I'm talking about the place of a father, you should choose not to die young. Men, don't die young in this church. I will wake you up. You cannot give birth to children and leave them for any woman to take care of. Because let me say something to you. In the growth process of a male child, there's an age a male child gets to. He needs a father, not a mother. Not, listen, he doesn't need a father in a woman's body. He needs a father in a male body. There's an age. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. See that time? There needs to be the presence of a man in people's life. Because that once a man begins to get to that stage, he doesn't have serious regard for people. It's not a good thing for women. But he needs a father. Maybe not biological father. I can just say, hey, will you stop that rubbish? I've seen cases where a father is sick, has stroke on the sick bed. Yet the man can be talking, the children are running up and down. But the father will just raise up his head, full stroke, and say, guy, everybody just get up and run inside. Now, he will not beat you, but that presence is there. Don't die young, go. Don't try it. Don't try it. Take the point. Don't try it. And then again, because at that point, it's very hard to understand. Women may not fully understand what is happening to the man at that point. There was a particular case. The child was 11, I'd be 12. And the mother was still beating him. And he refused. And the mother, it was big war. Why won't I marry? Can you bath yourself? You know it's women now. And can you bath yourself? Fight, fight, fight. And then the father got to hear about it. And just smiled. I called the woman inside and I said, stop bathing that boy. I said, bath himself. You understand? But the mother was still, why? What? Do you know his eye cannot even touch his back? Let him bath himself. That's how some people eventually become weak. Some men are raised that way. It gets to a point the father knows how to stand and raise a male child. Not to become very difficult, but to become tough. A man should be tough. I get what I'm saying. A man should be tough. You know, when I was in, was that my JS 2? Or was it JS 3 or so? I think one of the issues I had then was school fees. Going to pay school fees. Or this going to the bank to pay school fees. Normally, my mom would go pay the school fees. Come back and give me the teller. Ha. By just 3 or just 2, I told my mom, no, you can't go and pay school fees for me. I want to go and pay the school fees myself. She didn't understand it. Say, like, we should count 10,005. Well, that was the school fees then. Don't laugh, it was big money. Oh. Some of you did not go to a school that they paid 3,000. No. 10,005. My first school fees was 5,500, then 8,500, then 10,500. Before we jump to 15. I don't know where that school is now. I don't know where. They'll be 50 something now also. for 10-5. I say, let me go and pay. He said, what if you throw it away? I'm not going to throw it away. The fight, and I didn't like it. But you know the thing, my dad heard it and just told me, don't worry, go to school. She will go and pay this term. Next term, you can pay it yourself. For some reason, maybe you understood what I was saying. You know what I was saying? I just wanted to feel like I've grown. I wish somebody can even go and pay for me now. But I wanted to feel like I've grown. So I want to go and pay it myself. These days, I beg people to come pay money to the bank for me. Please take this money. I don't think I've entered bank since this. I don't think this is too late. I think I've entered bank only once. I don't even have time. You know, for that time, as a young guy, you are growing. You just want to do everything. So that's why I say, a father must be around. I'm saying, don't die. I'm saying all of this. Don't die. So don't stress yourself to the point where you become tired, become, you know, weak. You're getting to your 50s. You are, because I'm talking about healthy living now. Most men die young because of bad living, unhealthy living, no rest, and all of that that comes with it. Well, back to our teaching. So you build structures in your home that will make sure that people are being mentored and people are growing. Amen. We'll take 20 more minutes. Have you been blessed? Again, what does a father do? A father disciplines and restores. Discipline. Discipline. I have scriptures for this and I'm showing you, but not today. All this petrol and spoiled child. A father should discipline. Even though there is proper, there's a proper way to discipline. Discipline should be at least commensurate with the offense committed. Or to the offense committed. Let me say this to you. That if I open up this block for argument now. How many of you believe that children should be flogged? Let me say, you believe children should be flogged? Okay, you don't believe in flogging children. Let me say, okay. It's okay. Now, I'm not here to get into that argument. I'm just saying, whether you believe in using cane or not, you must discipline children. Where there is no discipline, people, even our Heavenly Father, disciplines us. How does he do that? One of the ways he does it is he uses the pastors he has put in charge. All this thing I say, you came late. For now, go to the back and go and pray. That thing is God's discipline on you. Using the structure you have set in place to discipline you. A father must discipline. Let me tell you. One of the major reasons for waywardness in Western countries is lack of discipline. Lack of discipline. I know our parents overdo it. African parents overdo it. African parents can flog you. Sometimes for no reason, just look at you and feel like it's been long I flogged this child. And they start flogging you. I've seen extreme cases. One of the cases, I was really very pissed. And it was a young girl being disciplined. Why would you be flogging a young girl, 17, 18, they're using wire, boiler? That's too far. Don't you think so? It's too far. So there are extreme cases, obviously. You can't get there. If you brutalize your children, they will arrest you. I will contribute to the arrest. Don't be like that. When you want to discipline children, one of the things that should be in your mind is, what do you want to achieve? If you know what you want to achieve, you know your whole aim is to achieve the purpose and not actually to make the child feel bad. Listen to me. You are not fighting with your child to show him that you are tough too. Say, teacher, you don't know me. I will show you. That's not the aim of discipline. You just want to communicate something so it will enter. So I see parents that my father told me, this child doesn't know me. I say, no, the aim is not for the child to know you. That's not the aim. The aim is for you to be able to discipline the child, for the child to be able to learn. And in other words, you've taught something. You've taught it, but the child did not get it via instruction. You now want to use correction to send the same message. That's the aim of discipline. So you said, nobody should come and sit here. Okay? Everybody should wake up by 6 a.m. to pray. And that child does not wake up by 6 a.m. to pray. And you want to teach the same thing, but not using instruction now, using the rod of correction. That's now. all discipline should be geared towards getting that stuff inside. That's how I also discipline people in church. That's why I don't give crazy disciplines in this church. But we're going to discipline you. End point is that the aim is going to be achieved. If you look at Paul teaching discipline, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 5, he said they should deliver that brother unto Satan. Do you remember that story? What was the brother's offense? He was sleeping with his father's wife. What was wrong with that? Paul said they were not even ashamed. So he even had a bad attitude towards the crime he was committing. So what did Paul say? Paul said deliver him to Satan. What does that mean? It means let the church withdraw themselves from him. What was the aim? To send a message to him that what he's doing is wrong. So discipline should have an aim. But there must be discipline. Homes where there is lack of discipline, I can tell you, and there should be serious discipline. Not this. Discipline should be felt. That's what I'm saying. Whether it's with scale or anything, it should be felt. All this one, Junior did something, you say for 30 minutes you will not play. I saw his kid like that. From now, you no longer play your PS5, you now be playing only your PS4. That's discipline. Oh, hallelujah. If you don't want to flog, you must have ways to discipline for it to enter. Do you understand the point? One particular case, I think it was my dad who told that story. They were on the dining table eating. And then the son obviously had watched one cartoon that sent one thing on. No, a bit, his friends talked to him that sent strong messages to him. Things like, women are not to be respected. Women are not. As a small boy. And he said it on that dining table. And his daughter said, no, women are supposed to be respected. He said, no, women are not leaders. Women are weak. You know, small boy. You know, children are picking a lot of crazy things. And the man said, try to talk. He was insisting. And the man said, okay, he was a small boy now. Well, anybody that thinks that women should not be respected in this house will not eat the meat fried by women in this house. Discipline should be felt. And the man said, Daddy, I'm sorry. Women should be respected. Women deserve. So the man started talking to him at that point. Say, look at all the stress your mother goes. You know this kind of thing. Even if it is only for the work they do. And he said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see it from that light. Now, discipline should be felt. Now, he didn't use skin, but he sends the message. So all this kind of discipline where he say, you are grounded. If you want to do, you are grounded. Make sure it's really grounded. Not you are grounded. You are just going to be watching DSTV from now. No Netflix. You don't understand. Some of us, if it's like that, we are grounded all our lives. I'm even more grounded than that, your son. Because I don't watch any. Yeah, currently. No DSTV, nothing. I don't even know what my TV is doing in my house, but it's okay. Okay, I play a game. Okay. I play a game. And then once in a while, because it's not bad to watch movies too. And I'm going to say that to you too. I'm coming to that. As a father, you can't create a tense atmosphere in your home. I'm not a movie person, you know, through and through. I don't even know why people watch movies. But if you come to my house, you will watch movies once in a while. Why? If I ask how I am, how I really am in that house. But I know that sometimes I need family to come together. So everybody might say, please come and let's see a movie. You know, sometimes I don't even know what is happening inside the film. You understand? Some even put it and start sleeping. But the end point is you want to get everybody together. It's a story for another day anyway. So you build structure, discipline. Then after discipline and restoration, it's very important. Don't know how to discipline and yet not know how to restore. That's the mistake of the Corinthian church. Paul told them to deliver that guy unto Satan. But 2 Corinthians, it was Paul that begged them to call that brother back because they almost killed the brother. So Paul was a father who knew when to discipline and who knew when to say, call that brother back. Fathers must learn too. There are different kinds of children. There are people that you do stuff to and they shy away. They run away from you. You must know when to restore. Now that restoration is not apologize to them for disciplining them. Don't ever do that. Don't ever apologize to a child for disciplining the child. Now if there was something you did wrong in the course of the discipline, you can apologize for that particular matter. I get the point. If in the course of disciplining the child, you mistakenly told the child, you're a very big idiot. You can call the child and say, well, you're not an idiot. You are God's righteous. I get the point. You're a king, you are this, you are that, but you shouldn't have done this that you did. So there is a place for apology, but not when you are apologizing for disciplining the child. But I'm saying, know when to restore, know when to call the child back to yourself. Now, again, apart from this kind of restoration, the next job of a father is, and this one is important because many people don't do it, is affirmation. Please write it. Affirmation. Fathers must learn how to affirm their children. You see this one? I'm a spiritual father. I'm still learning it. I do it too, but sometimes I feel it's not enough. Most of us, now make sure that the people that are following you, that the voice of correction is not louder than the voice of affirmation. I get what I'm saying? Make sure the voice of correction is not louder. Every time I'm teaching, when we start our Corpus Classic properly, that will be next year. Our first Corpus Classic will be next year. Even though we have some Corpus meeting this year, well, next year, proper Corpus Classic, there will be teachings on all of this. All of this can form a full class on its own. Like, correct, I can do a full teaching on discipline, how to discipline and all of that. There's affirmation. Affirmation is that a father must, you know, one of the greatest things that children need to become healthy is their father's affirmation. You did well. I'm proud of you. How many of you can remember a very significant day your father affirmed you? And it stuck to your head. It doesn't go. Even spiritual fatherhood, if they affirm you, you used to feel good. Sometimes you sleep, you are smiling, you sleep small, you smile. So a father should not be an expert at correction and not be an expert at affirmation. Even God publicly affirmed Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's a public affirmation of a father. Do not carry this mindset of that when you affirm a child, you'll start misbehaving. If a child does well in school, congratulate the child. It's not when he takes second, you say, people that took first, how many heads did they have? Mm-mm. Somebody took tenth, somebody took last. That person has one head too. So, what's all of that? So, of course, you want the child to do better in mathematics, but you affirm the child first. After the affirmation, you did very well. You know, sometimes I found out that the voice of affirmation can do more than the voice of correction. I've seen that one play out too. Someone failed mathematics. Last term, he got 25. This term, he got 33. It doesn't matter whether the problem is F. You just say, you move from 25 to 33. That means with a little more effort, we're going to hit 45 next term. You tried. Well done. That's enough. Now, after I start instructing, say, but that's when it says 33. If it is to finish all the food in this house, you know how to eat it. The voice of affirmation must be loud. Leaders of teams, you're also kind of playing a fathering role to people that are around you. Affirm your people. Correct too, but affirm too. If they do something right, affirm. Fathers, affirm. Amen. And let me say this to you. Tomorrow, Abby, Sunday night, we're going to do a relationship class. And I don't know if I'll mention this, but I found out that the reason why many marriages struggle is because the voice of affirmation is very low in that marriage, while the voice of correction is very loud. You are always saying what your wife has done wrong. I don't like how you always put this bed sheet. I don't like how you always do this. Maybe you don't like it, but what of the few or the many that you like? You complain when salt was not enough. When salt was enough in the food, did you talk? Did you say anything? You say, it's normal, I thought it should be enough now. Mm-mm. If it was correct, you must affirm. I get the point. So that when you correct, your mentee or son or subject, whatever you call it, will understand that correction as not the norm. Do you understand? My father affirmed, today he corrected me, I must take this very seriously. But when you have a father who corrects all the time, at a time the correction will begin to sound like complaining. I get what I'm saying. So you know, children will not toughen up. You are talking. And some of you are like that. But like I pray that children will not do the same thing to you. Yeah, I thought you said, okay. Pastor, talk. That's how he used to talk. Don't mind that. That's how that he used to shout. Don't worry. He'll be fine. That must be affirmation as much as you can. Now, affirmation is not flattery. Do you understand? Because I say you should affirm a child, don't praise the child for what the child did not do right. But that little one the child did right, please talk about it. I don't know if this is very clear to everybody. That small one. He woke up early. You know, have you ever done something in your house and you are craving that they will notice it? Anybody? So that you woke up and purposely go and wash all the plates. And you want your mommy to say, who washed these plates? That's the day they're not going to say nothing to you. No, it's not always the best too. I'm learning what I'm saying. I'm not very big on affirmation. Yeah. I'm not very big. I'm as in naturally. I don't know how to comment this. What? Do it well, do it better. Yeah, but I've some years ago, a few years back, I had to start learning, and I'm still learning it now. To learn to say to people, you did well. That was a powerful ministration. That was a powerful this. Oh, you did very well. You get what I'm saying? You did very well. You did, you know, small things, tiny things that has to be done. And when you have a culture of affirming your children, you find out when they do the right thing and you did not tell them, they will ask you, Daddy, did you not notice this thing I did? I get the point. If not, when they say, it's true, you did it well, that affirmation should be loud. And let me say one more on that affirmation, especially when you have girl children. Of course, men children need affirmation because that's the mistake many people make. Affirm your male children. Men are supposed to train to be tough, but not wicked. Don't tell your men to be wicked. Don't get carried away with affirmation and give your female children and say, the man is a man now. You should know that I like him. Mm-mm. You know, men also want to hear, I love you. Yeah, so men want to hear you're doing well. But I'm going to talk about the female children now. When you have female children, now, you don't have a biological child yet, I know. But you notice how I started this teaching. People are around you. We have nieces around you. I said you play father role over everybody. Remember I told you that? People that you can. There's a way to behave around. If you have younger ones, a younger sister, a younger niece, and they're around you, please affirm them a lot. Affirm them a lot. When they finish dressing, if it makes sense, tell them it makes sense. Don't think it's when you have a wife that will be saying it. If you cannot say it, even when you have a wife, you cannot say it. I get what I'm saying now. You affirm. Wow, you look very good. You made hair. I've noticed that when your younger sister makes hair, and you don't notice it, she will complain. Does that happen to you? Sometimes she'll just be carrying face for nothing. And I wonder, what is it? Now, why are you carrying face? Did I tell her that there's any problem? The problem is that you've noticed that hair. This thing is hard. Because sometimes I don't even notice my hair. But somehow, you just have to notice somebody's hair. But you learn to affirm. Oh, that's very good. You did it well. You handled that well. You washed these clothes very well. Do not come to a point where people do things for you, younger ones do things for you, and you feel, all the time you feel, that's what they should do now. Should I praise them for what they've done? Please affirm. 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 Okay, we have 5 minutes. There's a whole lot to say. We can close. That is caring. Father must care. He must care for your younger ones. Care demands paying attention, listening. Most men don't know how to listen. You must learn how to listen to your wife, to your friend, to your younger ones. Let them talk. Let children talk around you. When your children come back and they're talking, one way to care for them is they are listening to what they're saying, even though it is gibberish. That's when they will be able to tell you what their friend did to them in school. You pay attention. When younger people are talking around you, listen, let me tell you a story. You know, when I started CYF newly, Chambers Foundation, we used to go around to secondary schools very well. I still went last 2 months. And the same result, the thing has not changed. So as I finished preaching in a school, we would go there for vigil, and I finished preaching around 2 or 3. And then I say, if you want to see Bro Henry, you can wait. If you see the long line of students, and they sit down and they start telling you things. Do you know sometimes if I spend 10 minutes with them, they spoke for 9 minutes. And you just talk for 1 minute. Whoever is what I'm talking about. Because they want to talk. They're just talking. The last one went to, you know, a school here. You know, I just said sit and they came around. I was just, the things they are complaining about are very interesting. But I'm just there listening. I say, wow, are you serious? My friends used to laugh at me. Say, my head is big. They're paying attention to them. I said, is it before or now? He said, like now. He said, because I'm not seeing any big head. Get a point. Now, they just want to talk. They just want to talk. So you listen. Father listens. Father cares. If father provides, I won't say much about that. You provide for your family. You provide for your younger ones. No matter how you are, how much you have. See, at this point, as you're growing, you have younger ones, younger whatever, and they come around. Once in a while, even if it's buy them airtime, buy them credit. Buy them some provide. Now, that is a way to show that I care. And that's why I was saying it yesterday. You have younger nieces around you. I know you never blow yet, but once in a while, now, December is coming. Get something. Get something as they're going home. You say, what can I get? Get 5 packs of cheese ball each for all of them. How much is that? You can handle it. Big cheese ball. I like that uncle. That uncle that always buys such cheese. Now, think about the uncles you like when you were growing up. And the things they were buying you. Are they expensive things? So that's very, very... Think about it. That uncle always buys us sweets. Uncle sweet, when are you coming again? That provision, that not only when a child is young, as they grow. I won't say much about that. Take responsibility. Of course, that is protection. The father protects. And I don't want to say much about this. And then I talk about seeing ahead and inspiring hope. I'm close. Protection. Please, fathers protect. And I'm going to say this to every young man here. Real men are taught to protect people under them and to protect their women. Go and study even animals. You know, animals are territorial in nature. When a male animal is around the place, you can't come around and mess up. That's how real men are. Now, protecting doesn't mean you're fighting, you're throwing punch, you're ready to fight for them. But there are simple things that show that you care and you can protect the person. You get the point? You protect. I'm giving it can be simple things that matter. A way of showing the children that you are there. Somebody intimidates that child, you should be able to stand up for the child. That is a lot of revolution in that child's life. That you stood up for the child and said, well, don't talk to her like that. Don't talk to him like that. That's protection. You really don't have to fight. I'm talking about fight. A simple thing is that's protection. Amen. But if they fight and they beat you, I'm just saying protect them from bullies. Protect them from people that intimidate them. Protect them from trouble. Protect them from abusive people. That's again, we go back to structure. That's why you set structures in the house. A house where there is no proper structure, there is no protection for the kids. And that's one thing that is wrong with not having structure in your house. There should be a time children come back home. When children are very young, there should be a time all of them are staying inside the house. It's a way of protecting them. There should be a time they don't leave the house. So that people don't come in and begin to abuse them. I get the point. Most cases of abuse is because there was no proper protection from parents. I get what I'm saying. Are you guys following me at all? So you protect younger people around you. Protect them from trouble. Protect them from bad influences. Yeah. You can tell your younger brothers, younger sisters around you, stop following that guy. And crazy that they will not follow the person. A father protects. A father protects. And I want to add again, a father, because of our time, a father sees ahead. This is very powerful. A father, if you don't have foresight, you are not ready to father. Fatherhood is foresight. And that's the problem with fathers of our generation. They are so short-sighted. A father sees potential where the child sees nothing. As a father, a spiritual father now, I've looked at some people and I know that this one can be this. That some of you have given position. When I give the position, you are wondering, what did this man see in me? Why are you bothering my life? That's how a father sees what you cannot see. Sees beyond your weakness to see your strength. I can also tell you, a father anticipates even problems that may arise in the future. A father anticipates, because of experience and all of that, you should be able to anticipate what problem could be. I see two people, there's a way they'll be moving, I can predict where this is going to and how this will turn out. I can preserve one person. I can save one person. The father sees trouble when you are seeing nothing. He can see ahead and he goes ahead to protect you from the trouble that is coming. Do you understand what I'm saying at all? So you anticipate coming trouble. So how do we do that? Well, in prayer and all of that, and not just in prayer, friends, if you're a careful observer, if you are paying attention to your children, you will see what they don't see. That's why you're a father. That's why the evils always tell you that what a man sits down to see. Sometimes even if you climb a tree, you will not see. That is actually true. But that's a real man that pays attention. There are men that don't see nothing. And when I mean seeing ahead, I'm not saying I've seen that I'm supposed to be a doctor, so you must study medicine for me. That's what I'm saying. But even if you see that child is supposed to be a doctor, but the child says, I want to go and study art, we go back to teaching. You sit down with the child. If this one is not, see, let me tell you, you see, in this my house, all of you are doctors, you don't just know. You must study medicine. No. You talk. Look at why I think you study medicine. And actually, shall make sure if you're talking like that, it's not for your selfish interest. I've checked your result. You are good with biology. You are excellent with chemistry. Have you get the point? When I've checked your grades, I think you'll be excellent in this course. That's the father that sees ahead. People come to my office sometimes and they tell me the course I want to study. I already know they will struggle when they enter school. I already know. If someone that wants to go and study medicine, English, he had 90 something. Maths, 80 something. Biology, 52. Chemistry, 53. Physics, 70 something. What is he looking for? What it simply means is he might right jump 10 times and not enter school. And that's not because he's not intelligent. That's just because there was no father to stand to look and see that. See, that's not your path. I know what I'm talking about here now. So you look ahead. So because my office, I say, please don't study this thing. But I'll just try to show them area of strength. But I won't go direct to say, don't study it. You know, one of the things I do as a father that God has helped me and God will help you to do is I lead people to find what I have always wanted them to do. I lead them to find it by themselves. Do you know what I'm saying now? If I don't want you to study medicine, I will not actually tell them to study medicine. I will teach you, explain, show you the card, show you the indices, show you everything. You're not the one that will tell yourself, the way this is, I don't think I will. Now, if a person doesn't get it at first, give him time. But let him... Now, why you do it this way? I'm saying too much now. But why you do it this way is if you keep making decisions for younger people around you, they will never match up. But yet, as a father, you don't still want to leave them to make the wrong decision. But yet, you don't want to make decisions for them. So how do you strike the balance? What I'm showing you. You see ahead and you see the problem and you lead them to find it. Somebody comes to my office... Dad, I want to travel. I want to go to Gombe State to go and start farming. I heard that there is big farm there. Sometimes when he's done talking, I've seen that. Mm-mm. But you can't tell the child you're not going anywhere. Eventually, he will not go if he's an obedient person. But he doesn't even know why he shouldn't go. So first thing I'm going to ask you to do as a father and as a pastor is to go and pray. And I've done this to some people. One of my sons came to me sometime early this year, and said they wanted to go and live in a particular part of the country. I said, I already knew he wasn't going to go there. But I said, well, let's give it some time. You stay here. Let's just pray about it. Amen. So prayed. I didn't even talk about it. And the time came, I said, how did I know he was not supposed to stay there? It's not God that told me. When I asked him why he wanted to go and stay there, I just saw the reason. So you must pay attention. I get what I'm saying. Are you following me, friends? You must pay attention. So there is that seeing ahead. And many things on my list, but the last thing I'm going to say today, because of our time, is that a father must inspire hope. We are coming back to this teaching later. A father inspires hope. Let younger people that come around you find hope. Let them believe again. The guy comes to you, he's a drug addict, totally lost. Let hope come from you. A father inspires hope. A father does not talk down. Inspire hope in people. No matter how worthless the situation is, let people love to come around, because when they come around you, they find hope. They find strength to start going again. So you see everything I'm teaching this morning, you really don't have to have children to practice everything I'm saying. I get what I'm saying now. You just need to have people around you. Inspire hope. You're a teacher in secondary school, and the child comes, brings his results. He was 13th last term. Now he just took the 21st position. Looking so downcast. Looking so weak. Now, that is where you need to inspire hope. You won't say he did well, because I told you affirmation is not flattery. But you correct, but you must inspire hope. Let people come around you and know that they can believe again. I tell you, God has blessed me with that. No matter where you are in your life, if I meet you, you will move again. You will breathe again. You will take the next step. Yes. And I said it from when I was very young. I said, when I come to my office sometimes, written WAEC 3 times, failed the WAEC, and they are done. One was in my office, told me, don't worry, this school thing, don't worry. When was the last WAEC? Like 4 years ago. So he had given up. I said, but I still think you can go to school. He just laughed. I said, let's give it a try. Let's start job lesson. Let's start whatever. And eventually he's in school. A father must inspire hope. You get the point? People are tired. People are broken. Hope. Let your child know, even when you are in your, when he has grown, he's in his 20s and 30s, that if he's in school and since life is sitting in blue and black, that he can always call home and talk to dad. Do you have anybody in your life like that you can talk to when everything is looking gloomy? That I can just call and say, daddy, hunger won't finish. Life is eating me blue and black. It's not looking funny down here. And just sometimes doesn't even say anything. Just talks to you, laughs with you, and somehow you stand up again and you believe you can go again. A man has many failures. I hope you know this. A man has many failures. He just needs someone that will keep pushing him to keep going. And I tell you, if you keep going, you will get there. If you keep going. No, if you keep going, you will get there. Let people not come around you wounded and battered, and you help destroy them further. Hope should come from you. You can practice what I just taught you. It's long vac. I told the women this in the morning. It's long vac. Students are back from school. There are young people that have come back. Okay? Your cousins may come. Your nieces may come. Be a father figure to them. Inspire hope. Bless them. Do something for them. Teach. Instruct. Correct. Affirm. Some of them are getting a lot of discipline from home. So be the voice of affirmation. Inspire hope. Let them come around there and know that, I really enjoyed this, my long back. That was one uncle I met. Let young girls not come around you and you are the one that will expose them to sin. Let them come around you and find, even if they come, maybe that if you shouldn't have sports these days, a girl is coming around you 13, 14, she already has lost her virginity, she has done whatever. Let them come around you and believe again in purity. Inspire hope. I feel what I'm saying now. Inspire hope. Let them come around you and, you know, a new session is starting, maybe you're even in school. First year students are going to come in. They're going to come in confused, running up and down like headless chickens. That's how first year students look in school. From place to place, be the person they can run to. Be the safe haven they can come around and learn and find out to do life in school. So, and later they can say, I thank God. Do you have people you thank God you met your first year in school? People that were there. If you don't have anyone, be that person for somebody. You know what I'm saying? Inspire hope. Mentor people. Father them. Be a blessing. That's where you are getting set for when you have your own kids. Because even after you train your own kids, you will keep having people. And I feel like saying strongly that if God can trust you with the younger ones, he will keep sending more of them your way. Yeah, I'm telling you. If God can trust you, and I know I'm not trying to claim perfection, but you see, where I am, there is no place I get to that young people will not find me. No place. They must gravitate. I feel it's God trusting me. Because I've sent one or two people to your way, and you were able to change their life. They picked up, they got serious with God. Let God be able to trust you. I was telling the women this in the morning. Let God be able to trust you that He can send people your way and you will properly father them and deliver them to Him as trophies. Let God talk with His angels in heaven to say, you see that guy, that drug guy, don't worry, let us just angel orchestrate something that will make him meet with Michael. Once they meet, I know he'll be fine. Let there be that kind of trust upon your life. I don't forget the point. So when God is giving you children tomorrow, He's so sure that this one's turn out well. Now, I'm not saying that if you apply everything I've been saying, that children will not have their ups and downs, and times they can be stubborn and all of that. But eventually the end will be good. I know spiritual fathers in the body of Christ whose children misbehaved at some points. But eventually they get practicing the word and children are bad. And why do you find most fathers of faith, all their kids are strong and doing ministry? They say there is no formula for fathering. I agree. But there are principles. If there are no principles, there is no way almost all the people I look up to in the body of Christ have the same results with their children. It means there are principles. I get what I'm talking about here. There are principles. There might be no formula, but there are principles. So when you find the principles in God's word, you father. Can your children be stubborn? Yes. You are God's child. You get stubborn sometimes. True or false? Yes. But then, God keeps believing in you. Inspiring hope. So let young people come around you. Inspire hope in them. Be a big blessing to them. Even in this church, your opportunity to be a team lead, your opportunity. Now, those young girls, young boys coming around you, they're not coming around you just to be serving you up and down and to be celebrating you. Inspire hope. Bless them. Teach them. Correct them. Put them right. There are some of you in this church that when I interact with you, I just know that sometimes it's when some of you met us that you began to have a taste of what Father God really is. And I'm proud that God could use me to be that person for you. Now, be that person for another person. Are you following me, friends? Be that person. As much as they want to cooperate, be there for them. Inspire hope, strengthen and instruct. Were you blessed? Now, I will just do one thing. Does anybody have a question on this subject? Because I don't know. I'll come back to this, but not in this conference now. Any question on this subject? Okay. I'm seeing two or three hands. So get the mic for them. We have 10 minutes now to finish taking the question and go. But is this conference blessing you at all? I know it's not the regular fire and brimstone kind of conference. But God is shaping our lives. Do you feel it? Yes, ask.
Okay, thank you, Dad. The question I have is concerning that place you said that a father teaches everything. And then, the question is, if we are to teach our children everything, is there a time frame, in their ages that is proper to teach them most things like sex education?
Okay. Yes, there are ages, but times keep changing. I was discussing this with my wife now when we're coming out. Times keep changing. Some years ago, they would have said, don't talk about sex education till the child is 12, 13, or 14. But times are changing. You're in the school system. When another person in the school system, secondary school system, if I'm in secondary school system, you will know that times are really changing. So what we actually teach, for instance, you give an example like sex education. I mentioned early exposure yesterday. It's wrong. But what we teach is that there is something to tell a child about sex education at different ages of their life. Do you understand? Because the thing is, whether you tell them or not, somebody is going to tell them. Somebody will tell them all. or movies will tell them. Do you understand the point? There is something to tell them at different ages of their life. And can I say this to you? If you are close to your children and to young people, I've been privileged to do that, the opportunities to teach these things will always arise. They will ask you questions. When a child of 5 or 6 comes to you and says, "Mommy, how do children come? How do babies form?" And you say that many years ago, you can tell that child, when you eat, your stomach become big and you give birth. The child will say, "Hey, such should be easy." But now you can't tell children that. Say, "When you eat, say, mommy is a lie." So what should you do? Just basic sex education. He said, "Well, when a man and a woman get married." Now, notice the important thing at that point, you're not trying to teach something, you're trying to send a message. When a man and a woman get married and they do what married people do when they get married, they have children. But that is only when people are married. You now start teaching that a man that is not married to a woman should not touch a woman you get the point, you are sending the message already. You are not there to actually start explaining all the details of, okay, there is ovulation. He doesn't need that information at that point. I get what I'm talking about. So actually, I feel shying away from talking. If a child can ask certain questions, I should know certain things. If I for him to ask those questions, it means something is talking to him in his head, or somebody is talking to him. That's why he's asking all those terrible questions that he's asking you. So it's very important. This time, the women are not here, okay? But you know, I interacted with a lady. I told my wife this afternoon, we're just talking about it. Who told me, she was visiting me the first day she was a twin, first day she ever saw her menstrual flow. She was so ignorant about it. That when the girl, you see, she went, guess first person she spoke to, her twin brother. Say, come, let me show you. At that point, that girl should have been told by the mother what to expect. You know what I'm talking about? She told the brother, twin brother said, what did I do? And they were just acting very funny. Guess who they went to tell? Their father. Imagine you're the father, what are you going to do? He said, "Okay, mommy, come and take this girl." But end point is, before that age, that child should have been informed about that particular thing. That's what I'm saying. So there is actually sex education, but it is a difference. So children don't come around you now. I begin to tell them everything, but there are things they should know. When a child is 7, 8, they should be able to know that you don't indulge in some crazy things. You don't go touching women. And even men, you don't touch people in sensitive places in their body. Let them know. So that if there is a boy that is touching your son in some ways, because that's how people begin to develop gay tendencies. I feel what I'm talking about. So it's good to talk about those things. This is good. But then at different, just like in school, I say this all the time. You know, they teach you reproduction in JS1, teach you reproduction in JS2. Teach reproduction in JS3, till SS3. Even in your university, they're still teaching you reproduction. They are just telling you what you need to know at the time. Do you understand? I told you guys, my wife is a nurse. So sometimes when I look at their materials and I hear them take some lectures, it's the same thing they've been telling us all the while that they're telling them. But now, they're giving them more details that we did not need. And we don't even need it now. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I think it's very clear. So next question, Bromona, yes.
Okay, so my question is, someone you want to mentor, but this person is not looking up to you as a father. Like, how do you get the person to...
Okay, now, I like that. What you do actually is, there are things you don't actually force in this whole system. Now, when you are around people, now, you can only play a role in their life to the level they give you the opportunity to do it. Because there is connection. People just see and connect with you. When the child is not forthcoming in that way, well, play the regular roles you can just play for the person. Things like affirmation, how you're doing well, you're looking good. Sometimes it is through affirmation and even listening to the person that the person can now get interested in you. There are some of you that when the first time you met me, you never thought of even submitting to me or telling me anything. True of us. But gradually, by interaction, you see now it's not really like that. Some of you are not even close yet. Not because you don't want to be close, because you are thinking of how do I start getting close to this man. Don't worry, one of these days we will do it. You know that kind of thing. So what do I do for you? I see how much you give me opportunity in your life, and it's to that extent that I will bring my whatever I want to give you. If you give me more chance in your life, I will do more. Because fatherhood is not imposition. You don't impose. Except maybe it's now a son that God has given. Now you born him. That one you impose. But that imposition is still by care, listening, until you get the child to come around. One thing you must try not to do if you're fathering people is not to lose them. Losing them is not about them leaving the house. It's here. If you lose your child in your mind, at a point where the child doesn't really care anything you are doing, anything you are saying, it's a very terrible place. So you must keep caring, keep loving, keep correcting. So what you do is, you want to help someone, person doesn't see you like that. Well, do the much you can. By doing the much he allows you to do, eventually the person will come around. But if it doesn't ever come around at all, it's fine. Do the much you can. Make the much impact that you can make. He'll meet someone else that will help him. But then, do the much you can. That's what I'm trying to say. Affirm, do whatever you can at whatever level that the person allows you to do. Then with time, most times, you know, this trust thing is with time. People can get to trust you. So just do the much you can. Impact them the much you can. And they'll be fine. Is it clear? Even though there are other places you don't allow people to just do anything. For instance, if somebody is living under your roof and doesn't want to follow the structure you set, that's why you insist. He's under your roof. I get the point. Till he comes around. You want to ask another question because of this thing I said now? Give him the mic. Because if he's under your roof, please insist on that. Yes.
Okay, so you went to visit someone and the church they go to is not the church you want to go
yes,
to.
Yes.
And their system is that you go to their church.
It's good. Okay. If you can have that conversation and explain to them and show them why, it's okay. But if you cannot have that conversation, they cannot, don't cause trouble. Follow them to their church. That's why you don't stay there for too long. You start going to your house. Do you understand? I personally don't encourage young guys that maybe are done with school and mature to go and live with a married couple like that. I really don't encourage it. Most times, troubles will come. Most times. I can even predict trouble that will come. For instance, if that person you're living with is your brother, you will fall out with the wife one day. Not because the woman is a bad person. But for instance, the woman will expect you to wash plates, to sweep the house. And for real, you have to because you're living there. You are feeling, how can a full graduate, like a comrade like me, wash him plate? Well, then you are there. I get the point. So when you are there, what you just do when you visit such, make such visits, 2-3 weeks, you're out. But if for any reason you have to live with them for a very long time, just follow what they do until you are, and you keep convincing them, keep showing them, please, can I go to? Maturity will also tell you as a father that as an age a child gets to, you begin to leave the child to do certain things that he wants to do. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yeah, that's the truth. There's an age a child gets to, you just let the child do a few things. You begin to trust the child's decision small, small. Now, my children are not going to change church, but if I have children and they get to their 20s or 30s and insist they want to change their church, I'm going to follow them to that church that they want to go to. Now, I'm a lead pastor. I'm telling you this. This is worst case scenario now. I want to see what is happening in that church. And if I look at it and it looks like, I say, fine. Most times, they come back. Story for another day. You get the point? Most times, they come back. So there's an age a child gets to. So people come to stay with you. For instance, if somebody comes to stay in my house now, and the person is in his 20s or 30s, for whatever reason the person came, and then insist on going to use our church, I tell you, I'm going to allow the person. Because of that age. Do you know what I'm saying? I will allow you to do it. But I will still tell you, I want you to follow us to our church. But of course, I'm not going to allow somebody at that age stay in my house for that long. There are many things to say. Before you fight one day in the house just because we are doing this thing. Next question, please. I think that should be the last. Yes, Morgan.
Okay, thank you, sir. This system where we tell our children to maybe report their siblings if they do something bad, how will you handle it in such a way where it seems as if this particular child of yours is just acting up. So the sibling
acting up because the sibling is reporting him.
Yes, something of that. How and he's now feeling like that
they don't like him.
Yes, something of that. Yes.
Okay, let me ask you guys. Did you report your younger one? Did your elder one? Did you do that? Seriously, did you do that? Let me see your hand. Did they report you? Maybe I don't know that was committing the crime. How come I don't report? Well, I don't think it is wrong. However, that's why I believe strongly that parents should have talking sessions with their children. As a father, I know every of the children's birthday, one special time in his children's birthday is that he goes out with the children, whether male or female, you go out with them, sit with them, and they talk. Sometimes he told me, he said, I talk with my children man to man. I say, who is the man? Say, we talk man. See, 7 years children say, we talk man to man. Yes. And you talk. Let them see why your sisters don't hate you. I'm the one that gave the instruction. And it's because I want to know what you're doing actually. Now, the truth of the matter is that they may not always understand it. But if you keep explaining, as they grow, one day they will get it. You know, everything, it's not everything that you understood about growing up. But now, don't you understand now? You understand very well. So, but then, it's good to offer that explanation so that the child will grow to understand why whatever is happening is happening. Why are you blessed? Who wanted us? You have a question? You have a question? This should be the last now. Except something else.
Thank you, sir. I wanted to ask, what if you have a child that you are training and all of a sudden you just notice that you keep giving instructions, your own child though, the child keeps not getting the instruction. You have flogged, corrected, done everything possible, but it's as if the child is not listening. Your own child. And you have even tried to maybe go the extreme of maybe chasing him away, but he's not just walking. So I really want to understand, because I don't want to beat my child. But I'm also thinking, what if this child becomes reprobate? Is he reprobate? That kind of thing.
Whether you beat the child?
Yes.
Do you guys, why don't you guys believe in disciplining your children, in beating children? You don't believe in beating children? Okay. Well, we did. I'm here with you guys for life. So, who was it? What I believe actually is that there can be minimized use of cane in the house. Very minimal. My pastor told us recently, he said in the past 5 years or so, they've not used cane in his house. He said it's not like he's not used it before, but like at least in the past 5 years, because they're learning better how to handle whatever. But he said that doesn't mean that if the opportunity calls, that they won't use it. So we did. So you have to minimize the use of it. But to your question, most times, I kind of believe that, who said that himself? Action and reaction are equal and opposite. Who is that person? Newton, that man. So I believe that nothing just happens for nothing. Check whether there is a negative influence that child just came in contact with. Check whether there is someone. Most times, there is someone that the child has met that is sending messages, sharing ideas, sharing thoughts with the person. When I was in primary school, God helped me. I was not influenced. But I met this guy. I won't call his name because you may know him. But we're in primary school. And he was supposed to be the son of a pastor. But then, this guy, always, we are walking home from school, he's buying toy. It was from him I first saw toy car. I didn't use toy car growing up. I don't know. You did. God bless you. But I never saw toy car. It was from him I first saw. I go home every day. He's buying toy car. Every day. I say, I have all these toys that you have. So my mommy used to give me money every day to buy it. Eventually, he was stealing the money. And I tell him, why not go and get from your mom? I say, he will not give me. He say, take it. Let me tell you why I didn't take that. Story for another day. Oh. The first time I took money that was not my own, I was in nursery three. Nursery three, yes. It was 1 naira. No coin. I can't forget. I took it to, after some time, my conscience gave me some, so I went and gave it. It was in school. I went and said, I took it, but I'm returning it. And they took me to go and tell my father. It was a day I'll never forget. This man showed me, the man showed me something. He beat, I don't even know how much he beat me then, but I know I ended up under the dining. So you don't like beating, it's okay, it's fine. So when he finished, so when he was telling me in primary school, let's take money, my mother said, this boy doesn't understand. But that influence did not work. Well, part of the reason why it didn't work was because eventually, in a few months from then, they caught him. Because the parents came to school one day and saw all those toys. And eventually, he had lied that someone was giving him the toys. So the parents came to school to ask, and it was a lie. He was only stealing their money. But I'm saying there are negative influences. Do you understand? Negative influences. So after that nursery experience, I never, even say now, I can't take what is not mine. That's why sometimes beating is good. By the time I was in JS1, they accused me of stealing in my school. You know, affirmation helps children. I've told you guys that story, right? They accused me of stealing 700 naira in my school. When I told my dad, because they had already beaten me blind black in school. You stole it. I put it to you, Henry, that you stole that. I said, I did not steal the money. These people flogged me. My school was a brutal school. They flogged me from morning till 4 p.m. You see, all most of the teachers, they will come and flog. I said, I did not take the money. But you know why I'm talking about this? Go back to everything I've taught. When I came home and told my mom told my dad never asked me, did you steal the money? He didn't ask me. He came to school and told them he didn't steal it. And my principal said, did you ask me? I can tell you he did not steal it. That was a changing, a turning point for me. But you know why he could say that? That nursery three experience had happened. And from then till now, he has set traps, obviously. My dad leaves money carelessly in his room. But he grew up to find out that he wasn't careless. The man, he leaves money, he just came to the room, he just see money, 50 naira, 20 naira. It's not careless, oh. No, it's not careless. Any day, 1 naira miss, you know the man is not careless. So he told them that they didn't steal it. And they said, let's call him. And he said, don't call him, don't call nobody. Don't question him. I tell you he didn't steal it. It was a very big day in school. That's why I told you, you have to protect your kids. My dad came to school and shut down lecture in my school for the whole day. My brother's on the story. He wrote a report to state CID that the child has been falsely accused. I was with the report. He wanted to take it. So the principal gathered all the teachers for his staff meeting, emergency staff meeting for the whole day, begging him not to go to state CID. So he submitted the letter. He wanted to involve a lawyer that the child has been falsely accused of stealing. Gave the school ultimatum, gave them 1 week because they said he will not beat him again. He said no. He said, I'm giving you guys 1 week to produce who stole that money and the money. If not, we'll meet in court. They produced it in 3 days. The real story was that the guy that said they stole his money never came with 1 naira to school. Now, you see, I'm talking about a few things. That is influence. Do you understand? That's negative influence. But again, I've gone back to affirmation. Imagine if my dad started beating me too. Tell me the truth. Did you steal that money? I might eventually become a thief. Because if you beat me for what I did not do, I may now do so that I will know where you are beating me. I know why you are beating me. So it's just the wisdom of God that is so pattern thing. That's what I wanted to know. So when such things happen, ask yourself, any influence? Is there any new friend that came into his life? Is there any new movie he started watching? Is that somebody he started talking to newly? I share this story with you finally if I close. There are drastic decisions that sometimes fathers have to take. My pastor, when he met Jesus and started preaching when he was 11 or 12, preaching even in crusades, he told the story himself. There's an interview of my pastor on Facebook, on YouTube. Okay? Now, he was doing well, doing ministry, preaching and doing all of that. But then, enter secondary school, bad influence began to come. by his SS1, SS2, grades became very bad and he was performing terribly. The parents had to take a drastic decision and withdrew him from school and kept him at home for like 1 year. Yes, homeschooled him. If not, he would have gone from there. I know what I'm talking about. So there are times where you take, you know what they did? They cut that influence off. They cut it off. I don't have the full story. I can't figure it out, but the interview is on Facebook. Or it's on YouTube, rather. It's titled Iconic, where he told the story of his life and all of that. They had to pull him away from school and kept him at home for like 1 year. A full year. I know what I'm talking about. That's why there are drastic things, because that thing was bad influence. And if that thing had continued, beat from now till tomorrow, peer pressure is real. Peer influence is real. I know some of you are getting this wisdom. The younger ones will need it. God will help you. And you will get better. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm done. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.